1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance.
Great, thank you, Franklin. If we've not met before, my name is Tom Simpson. I'm one of the staff here, and it's great to be looking at this letter from 1 Peter today. So do keep that open. We'll look at those opening couple of verses. So I've got a question for you this morning. What do the following things have in common? What do the following things have in common? A gang, a football team, a political party. It's very hard to get a picture of a political party, but anyway, that's the best I could do. And a choir. What do those four things have in common? Well, it strikes me that all four of those are things that people belong to. It's all something that helps people to have a sense of purpose, a sense of being part of something together. And it strikes me that we all want to be part of something. Now, if you're from a more community culture, maybe it's more about being together, being family. Or maybe if you're from a more individualistic culture, it's being part of something that we've chosen, maybe our team or our group or our club. And it's something that we all feel. You know, you can see it in what we worry about when we aren't part of a group. We suffer from the fear of missing out. And we want to be on the inside. It's also one of the things that maybe we struggle with as teenagers, as we go from childhood to adulthood. We move from being in our family group to having to make our own group. And part of the challenge is not knowing where we belong. It's one of the questions that lies behind the debate at the moment between multiculturalism and nationalism. Who's part of the team? Is effectively what we're asking. Who's on the inside? And I think part of the reason we all feel this and we all want to belong is because it helps us understand the world. Being part of the team, being part of the group, gives us purpose. It gives us meaning, belonging. And it's the same reason if you're working, why your boss may say to you, right, this is our team goal. This is what we're going to work towards together. It helps us be united. We all long to belong. And that's what we're going to be thinking about as we start looking at these opening words from 1 Peter. Peter, that member of Jesus' inner circle, one of the 12 apostles who established the church, he is writing to Christians in the first few decades after Jesus was on earth. And as we go through the rest of this letter over the course of the summer, we'll see that those early Christians were finding things hard, that they were suffering for being Christians. But Peter's got good news for them and good news for us. And we'll see that in these opening couple of words. He wants to remind them and us that Christians are chosen by God, that we all belong, even though we may be exiles in the world around us. So let me read those couple of verses that we're looking at again. So page 1217, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered through the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Now, in that second line down, just after the first sentence, Peter says that he's writing to the elect, that these are people who have been chosen. Like we, you know, use the word election to choose somebody. Actually, Christians are elect. They are chosen by God. And specifically, they are people that God has chosen. Right from the top, Peter wants to remind Christians that they belong, that they have been chosen. They've been picked for God's team. And he also wants to remind them of the wonderful significance of being chosen by God. Look at verse 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Christians believe that God the Father knows all things. Not just everything that's happening in the moment right now. Everything that happened in the past. And also everything that will happen in the future. And he knows all of it now. Everything that will ever happen. God, who knows all those things, has chosen you. And that is great news, both when it was written and today, because it means that you and I aren't surprises to God. Now, I think it's most people's kind of nightmare, that moment in school where it's like, right, and now Steve and Fred are going to choose teams. And you just think, oh, no. Okay, and then Steve gets Steve chooses his first person and it's not you, and Fred chooses someone and it's not you, and they go on and they go on until it's just you left over. No, that's not what God is like. God, who knows everything from the very beginning, has chosen you and me, and we're not surprises to God. We're not the second class options or whoever was left over at the end. Isn't that good news? We're not surprises to God. He chose each of us because he wanted us. And not some future version of you either. Not the person he looks at and think, well, if we did this, if we did that, maybe they could be better. No, he chose you. He chose you as you are now. So there's no need to put on a show for God or to try and impress him in some way by covering over the things that we'd really rather God didn't know. He already knows, and he's chosen you anyway. We can't surprise God or catch him out by some decision that we have made or that we will make. God chose you according to his foreknowledge, knowing beforehand. And he chose you, carrying on in that same sentence in verse 2, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. God chose you just as we are, but he's not going to leave us there. Believers receive the Holy Spirit from God. And the Holy Spirit is in the business of sanctifying people, of purifying them. He takes people who are unholy and opposed to God and purifies them, makes them ready to be in the presence of our holy and amazing God. He equips us for the here and the now, as we'll think about later on, more later on in the letter. And he's preparing us to be with him in heaven. The Spirit shapes and fashions us into the people that God wants us to be. So we are known by God, just as we are now, and we're being shaped by God. And what are we being shaped for? Well, as that little section, that little paragraph finishes, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Now, this is the goal of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's helping us to be obedient to Jesus Christ. And this gets to the very heart of the Christian message. The story of the Bible is that humanity was made to live in God's perfect world, under God's perfect rule. But the consequence of our disobedience to God, of our striving to make ourselves the ruler of the world rather than God, is that we all deserve God's eternal judgment and exclusion from heaven. None of us were living God's ways. None of us naturally were following his path. But when God chose us, well, then everything changed. He wanted to make us so that we can be as God intended us to be, living with God at the center of our lives. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing with us. He is making us obedient to Jesus Christ. That's what God always wanted to do. I don't know if you noticed that in our reading from Ezekiel 11. If you've got a moment, maybe later on, flick back and have a look. You'll see that that is what God wanted to do. That heart of that new spirit within them, that heart of flesh rather than heart of stone, it's so that we could be the people that God intended us to be. They're chosen to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Now, that's a particularly disgusting image, isn't it? No, it's just a horrible picture to think of, and yet it's glorious. Because it's pointing back to some language from the Old Testament of obedience to God. That symbol of being sprinkled with blood is what God's people had happened to them long ago, of being chosen, of committing themselves to following God's laws. When God's people in the book of Exodus in chapter 24, when they said, "We will follow God's ways," they sacrificed an animal and were sprinkled with its blood as a symbol of what it took to bring them to God, of their commitment to us. And so, even though it's shocking, it's wonderful for us. Because Christians are spiritually sprinkled with the blood of Jesus to show God's commitment to rescuing us. Jesus' blood, when he died on the cross for us, saved us from the judgment that we deserve. And as we are sprinkled with that blood, it's a sign of how much we have been rescued. It's a sign of how far we've come. And any time we might doubt God's promise, we can point to the blood of Jesus spiritually sprinkled on us and be confident that that he died in our place, that we have been forgiven, that we are loved and chosen and being sanctified. We are free to enjoy the life that he owned. So it may seem quite a shocking image, but it is wonderful for us. And in fact, that's what we're going to remember in communion later on, Jesus' blood given for us, his body broken for us. We were ransomed at a high price, and his blood sprinkled on us, which apparently I can't say, is a symbol of the new life that we're destined for. Now, I want you to cast your mind back to a time when you were selected for something, big or little. It might be a job interview where they ring you afterwards and say, "Hey, we have chosen you, we want you." Maybe it was a university application or being asked to be an audition that you've passed, whatever it is. I want you to remember that sensation of being chosen. It's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? It's great to feel valued, that you have a place. And that's the same sensation that we should be feeling as we read these words from Peter to those Christians all those centuries ago and to us today. Because we are chosen. If you're a Christian here today, you have a wonderful and special status. You are loved by the Trinitarian God of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, chosen by the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, in order to be obedient to the Son who purchased you with his blood. You are chosen and you belong. You are wanted. Isn't that wonderful? But being a Christian isn't always easy, is it? It certainly wasn't true for believers in Peter's day, and it's not true. It's hard for us here today as well. Let me read verse 1 again. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered through the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The people that Peter is writing to, they're chosen by God. They can be confident in that, but they are also exiles. Other translations describe it as foreigners or refugees, that the kids' version we were using earlier, those who are far away from home. They're scattered exiles. Because they've been chosen by God, they're effectively citizens of another country, of God's country, but living somewhere else. Their passport doesn't say England or United Kingdom or even this world, wherever your passport may say you're from. They're away, they're living elsewhere. Just as we are here today, these people lived among the non-Christians of their day. They are scattered across an enormous area, areas in modern-day Turkey. So you've got those everywhere from the farthest bit in red, Pontus, all the way through to, through to the Roman province of Asia. That's the bit in yellow, modern-day Turkey. It's a mountainous 1,300 kilometres, what's that, about 800 miles from one end to the other. And the very edges of the Roman Empire, once you got beyond Pontus and Cappadocia in the sort of eastern end, that was it, you were into the land of the barbarian. And they were scattered, they're scattered people. They're exiles. And they were exiles as well because they were obedient to Jesus rather than the ways of this world. And so they didn't fit in. They stuck out because they followed Jesus. They lived differently. And that's hard, isn't it? I'm sure you can think of someone who doesn't fit in today. We know it's hard. It's hard because people tend to be hostile to those who act differently. It might not be active violence, and we certainly pray that that wouldn't be the case, but people can be social exiles. They're not part of the club, are they? As people who want to belong, when we belong to God, when our citizenship is in heaven, that means we stick out here today. Now, we're lucky here in Cambridge, aren't we, to have lots of people from all around the world. Now, that's something that I'm not familiar with as someone who was born and brought up within the UK, but my sense is that it can be a challenge to hold on to the cultural and family traditions from back home. You know, it might be that it's hard to eat the traditional food or the familiar food because we don't sell it in this country, or it's just very hard to get hold of or very expensive. It might be that family celebration back home is really difficult because family's just a long way away. Or maybe it's a special day in the country back home, but actually it's not a public holiday here in the UK, where it would be elsewhere. It can be hard to feel like you fit in. And in some ways, as Christians, we face the same challenge because we live by the rules of our King, Jesus, rather than the rules of this world. We're waiting for the day when we're able to celebrate properly with God in heaven. And we're scattered amongst a non-believing country, marching to the beat of a different drum. and we hold the passport of another country. And so we're going to stick out. There are going to be people who oppose the decisions we make and the beliefs that we hold. It's not going to be easy. There are even going to be those who say we're wrong. But it's not going to last forever. That's why we need to remember Peter's final words of greeting at the end of verse 2. We need to remember the grace and peace that God gives in abundance, because it's not going to be easy to follow Jesus, but it won't last forever. So I'm afraid if we're following Jesus in this world, it's likely not to be comfortable. But we are on a journey to somewhere much better. We're citizens of a better place, of being with him in heaven one day. Now, as some of you will know, this is my first sort of normal summer in Cambridge, and my first experience of Cambridge exam season, that moment where you're walking down the street and then somebody comes at you walking in an academic gown, which just feels quite a strange experience. I know that's something that wasn't normal for me, but I know for many of you here, that was your experience of being examined. And I guess you must feel a bit funny as you walk through the Cambridge streets when everyone else is there in their normal clothes and you're not. And I guess you feel like you stand out until you get to the exam hall, when suddenly everyone else is there as well wearing the same things. You stand out until you get to where you fit in, until you get to where you're supposed to be. And the same is true for us as Christians. We're chosen by God. We're equipped and trained and empowered to live differently. And we are going to stand out until we get to where we fit in. And actually, church is a wonderful picture of that. As we all gather together from where we've been scattered in the week, we get a small taste of what heaven is going to be like as we gather together. And so we're going to stick out while we wait to be called home. We're waiting for our status as exiles to change so that we can be with God forever. But Peter writes to Christians both then and now to say, you belong. You have been chosen. Don't doubt your status. God gave up an enormous price for you and for me, just as you are now. He gave you his Spirit. So you are children of God. You've been given everything you need. So let's not be afraid to believe different things, to act differently, to follow Jesus. If we feel like we stick out, that's entirely to be expected. And when the hard things come, when people say that you can't believe that around here, let's not be surprised. But let's remember that we belong with God. You are chosen and loved and cherished by God. Do not forget your status. You are citizens of heaven. Someone who calls God Father. You belong to him.